Again, we're very delighted that all of you have made your way out to be with us today. Again, we're thankful for all the visitors that are here with us, and we want to encourage you to come back each and every time that you have an opportunity. Indeed, we enjoy those that come to visit with us, and we always look forward to when you can make it and come and fellowship and worship with us. We want to turn our attention this morning to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. My goal is not that we will get clear through this morning, but probably this morning, tonight, maybe even next week, we want to consider John chapter 11 and all 58 verses that are within John 11, or 57 verses. This is a great story where we find a man that Jesus loved, Lazarus, who has died. And Jesus is going to go to Lazarus, and he is going to bring him forth from the dead. And we'll find from that moment on, there will be those that will seek to kill him. The chief priest will find reason to bring him to death because of what it is that he has done. And we'll find that so many lessons can be learned from what we find within this chapter. We see the humanness of Christ Jesus. Shortest verse we have in the Bible is John chapter 11 and verse 35. We see Jesus wept. We can see that Jesus had emotion just like you and I do. That he was sorrowful for what he was around, for what he had seen. But yet we see in this great chapter the glory of God. And I believe that we get a glimpse of insight into what was going to come following the death of Christ Jesus. The power of God is to be seen and to be shown within this chapter. And it will come, and we will find that the power of God can be seen, and it will be known, and it cannot be denied because others simply witnessed what Christ Jesus had done. With those thoughts in mind, let's begin to take a look this morning at verses 1 through 16. As Brother Barry read in our reading, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." Now we know that Martha and Mary were known to us in other areas of the Bible. Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha, and we find that they are from Bethany. If you would, flip your Bibles over very quickly to Matthew chapter 26, because I want to talk for just a second about this Mary and Martha and who they were and the information that we have in the Bible regarding them. But in Matthew chapter 26, we remember that there was one that came in and washed the feet of Christ Jesus. In 26, beginning in verse 6, we see here, "And when Jesus was in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask, a very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. For assuredly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman has done, what this woman has done, will be told as a memorial to her." Now, a couple of interesting things that we find here with Mary is the fact that, number one, that she anointed Christ Jesus. Jesus identifies why this was going on and talks about that he is going to die. "She's done this for my burial." Remember, Christ Jesus, and particularly in the Gospel of John, would often talk about how it was not yet his time. It was not yet his time to go to Jerusalem. Well, we find here, as we study about Martha, that he had come to that point in time where he was there and he was preparing himself to die. And yet teaching was continuing to occur. And Mary came in and she anointed him with this oil. Christ Jesus said that what you see of her, that it will be told throughout all time, that wherever the gospel was preached, that this woman, what she has done here, will be remembered. Now, it's interesting to think about that specifically, as to say, well, why Why will that be remembered? She's a great servant of Christ, obviously, that we can see. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And I want to point out that I believe that we talk about the same Mary and Martha when we take a look in these passages of Scripture. In Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, we see here that Mary and Martha both are going to serve Christ. At this point in time, they're going to worship and serve. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" These are the Mary and Martha that we talk about in John 11, the sisters of Lazarus. They had known Jesus. There was a relationship that there was with Jesus, that they had been with him. That not only had they been with him, but Mary had anointed him with oil. Mary had washed his feet, which Martha was upset about because she was wanting help with what it was that she was doing. I can't help but say right now that, you know, when it comes to serving Christ, we have a role, all of us in here, that we must fulfill. And I don't think we should ever think that any role is too small or too large, or that my role is more important than what your role is, or vice versa. We find that we serve Christ with the talents that He has given to us, and we know that what is right for us may not be right for somebody else, but it is important that we show that we are servants of Christ Jesus. Now the interesting thing is that we find back in Luke chapter 7 that there was a sinful woman that was forgiven by Christ Jesus. And it is believed that this woman was Mary, that this woman was the one that was full of sin. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to eat with the Pharisee's house and sat down. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask and fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. And now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman that is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." Now, we find that indeed, if this is the Mary that we talk about, keep in mind that Christ Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, those that weren't within Christ. And it's important that we must remember as we go clear through life that whoever we come across, that Christ Jesus has died upon the cross for that person specifically, as He's died upon the cross for all of us. So let us not ever be like the Pharisee who would say, "Oh, if you only knew what type of person that was." You know, we see some, pardon the expression, some vile creatures around here in Pike County, don't we? And we must always remember, you know what, Christ Jesus died for them also. Christ Jesus was nailed to that cross, shed His blood, so that they themselves, whether they take advantage of it or not, could have that hope of Christ and that hope of heaven if they simply would believe in Him. But as we begin to talk about Lazarus, understand that the brother of Mary and Martha, they had that relationship with Him. Mary, who had anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So when they got sick, when Lazarus got sick, these sisters sent for Jesus. They called out to Him to come. They called for Christ, and they referred to Lazarus as the one that Jesus loved. Now, what all was involved in that? I'm not real sure. But it's important, I think, that we understand that not only was Mary and Martha did they have a relationship with Christ, but also Lazarus did as well. And the sisters recognized the relationship that existed between Jesus and Lazarus, and it must have been close. Jesus must have had fond affection of Lazarus as they identified him as the one that Jesus loved. The one who you love is sick. Well, Jesus, in his response to this, clarifies the sickness. In verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now we begin here with Jesus' response to what is going on. And I think it is important that we note that this sickness is not unto death. But yet, what do we find out? That Lazarus died. So what is it Jesus could be saying that this sickness was not unto death, but to the glory of God? Well, God is going to receive the glory. When we study this, we get to that point where Jesus commands Lazarus to come forth from the cave, to come forth from the tomb. And we'll find that without hesitation, without any problems, that Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, came forth from that tomb. I'll give you a little sneak peek into our study that will come at some other time other than this morning. As I was preparing this, and I did not know this, that the Jews believed that after 4 days of someone being dead, that it was then that the spirit or the soul of that man would leave the body. And they believed that up until that point in time that the soul continued to dwell in the body, but it was the rigor mortis that set in that the spirit would recognize this person is now dead, and then after 4 days they would leave. Now, I don't hold that to be the truth. I know better because of what the Scripture teaches us. But the Jews held this concept after 4 days. Isn't it fascinating that it was 4 days until Christ Jesus got to Lazarus? That way the Jews couldn't say, well, as the guy in Princess Bride said, he's only mostly dead. Well, no, Lazarus wasn't mostly dead. Lazarus was dead. And not only was he dead, he was dead for 4 days, so that the Jews couldn't come back and say, well, you know what, the time frame had not been met yet. Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and there was no arguing about any life that was left in this man. So Jesus says his sickness is not unto death, but it is that the glory of God may be seen, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now remember, when Jesus walked here upon the earth, that there were those signs, those wonders, those miracles, and those were being done so that others could know that there is a God, that Jesus was the Son of God. And we see the power that comes from what he was able to do because of that. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now isn't it interesting, we talked about that short word, that three-letter word this morning, and, didn't we? It says here that Jesus loved Martha and her sister, which was Mary, and Lazarus. Loved all three of them. Loved all three of them. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Now isn't it interesting, those two sentences that we have right there in verse 6. It would appear that those don't go together at all, do they? I mean, what do we hear when someone is sick? If there is somebody that I love that is sick, I'm going to go to them. I'm not going to wait 2 days. Now, is there a special occasion in which that might happen? Well, yeah, let's say I lived in Alaska, okay? And I heard that my mom was sick back in West Virginia. I may have to wait 2 days to be able to secure transportation to get to her. That's not what's being said here. Keep in mind that Jesus is waiting 2 days. There's not going to be any question about the resurrection of Lazarus. There will be no question about the power of God as it is seen here upon earth. He heard that he was sick and he stayed 2 more days. You know, that's unnatural. It's unnatural for what we think. You know, what you would expect to hear is, heard he was sick and he went straight to him. He left immediately to go to his friend, the one that he loved. But we find that he stayed two more days. And then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Let us go to Judea again. Well, there's a problem with going to Judea again. If you would, back up into John chapter 10, beginning in verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but you, blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself God. Boy, isn't this interesting that this has just happened? It wasn't the fact that Christ Jesus did good works, but one of the claims of Christ was that he was the Son of God. And when the Pharisees heard this, they lost their mind. He claims to be God. And yet what we find out, that not only does he claim it, here in a couple days he's going to show it. He's going to show the power that exists. Jesus answered them, it is not written in your law, I said, you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Now you want to talk about a great claim of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus lays it on the line who he is. Christ Jesus says, my Father in me and I in him. And therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. Jesus has said, okay, it's now time to get down to Judea. And the disciples said, oh no. Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you and you're going again? You know, I often joke about that line, you don't learn anything new the second time you're kicked by a mule. And truly you don't. Truly you don't. I remember I left the garden rake. I've told you this before. I've left the garden rake in the yard. I've only ever done that once. You know, Jesus is going back to be traveling through a place where they sought his life. Think about the love that he had for Lazarus and the love that he had for the sisters. But more importantly, think about how God is going to be glorified in what he has done. And how Christ Jesus himself, will be glorified through it. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because when he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. You know, this verse here, 9 and 10, it's interesting. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? And what Jesus is talking about here is the light of day. Now, we may say even ourselves, well, there's about 12 hours of light in the day. And maybe if you would take a look at the average throughout the whole year, I didn't look at that, but there might be a 12-hour average. You know, in the summer it's longer, in the winter it's shorter. I don't know exactly where that would average out to, but it was time in which it was light, time in which you could see, time in which you would be aware of your surroundings and know what is going on. I think it is of note and of interest that Jesus talks about the light and darkness here. You know, Jesus is the light. Jesus talks about being the light. If he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. You know, Jesus is the light of this world. You know, we're talking about a situation here of daylight, but Christ Jesus is the light. Satan is the darkness, and Jesus says, we'll go in the light. We're not going to go in the night where one would stumble because the light's not in the darkness. The light is not in the darkness. But Jesus said, our friend Lazarus sleeps. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, our friend. Those disciples that he was with, they were friends of Lazarus as well. our friend sleeps and I must go and wake him. But the disciples had confusion. The disciples didn't quite understand what was going on, because they simply said, well, if he sleeps, then he will get well. If Lazarus is resting, then he will be fine. He will be okay. However, Jesus spoke of his death. Many times in the Bible we hear that term sleeping, a sleep in Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul told the church at Thessalonica that we do not have to mourn those that sleep as do those who have no hope. Those that are asleep in Christ, those that have died and passed on. Christ Jesus spoke of Lazarus being dead. And then Jesus said to them very plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. You know that? When you hear that, it's overwhelming, isn't it? I suspect maybe all of us in here have heard that statement. I remember March 13th, about 10 to 9, I called my dad to check on my pap. And her response was, pap died. And when you hear that, it's so overwhelming. It is so overwhelming. And I have to believe that when the disciples heard this, that throughout all that confusion, it had to be overwhelming. Lazarus is dead. But listen to what Jesus said next. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't there. You know, as I read this, I think as we go through this life, I think about big picture and small picture. I think about God's will and my will. I think about how things need to be done. I mean, you read this initially and you think, man, that's a callous thing to say, isn't it? Well, I'm glad I wasn't there. We're going to find out that when Mary and Martha come to Jesus here in these next few verses, they're going to both say to him, oh, Christ, if only you would have been there. If only you would have been here. Christ says, I'm glad I wasn't there. Why? Why? That you may believe. That you may believe. Jesus is going to leave no doubt about His power and the power of God. There's not going to be any other explanation other than a miracle has been performed and it has come by the hands of God. That you may believe. Let us go. And as we close out this section, it was Thomas, the one that we often refer to as Doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas said, unless I see the holes, I won't believe. You know, it's interesting we call Thomas Doubting Thomas. You know, I also see Thomas as somebody who said, show me the evidence. Show me the evidence and I will believe. But here it is Thomas who speaks up. And he says to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Isn't it interesting that in Thomas's mind, he had no doubt about what was going to happen. That they're going to go back down through the region of Judea. Those that were seeking to stone Christ, they're going to find them and they're all going to be put to death. And Thomas said, we'll go. Let us go with him. Let us go with him that we may die. What a fascinating 16 verses to start this chapter out. We often talk about Jesus and His compassion. And yet here Jesus says, I'm glad I wasn't there. Why? That you may believe. That you may believe. You know, we talked about faith some in class this morning. Growing our faith, growing our strength. You know what? This here strengthens my faith. Because I know that what the Bible has to say is true. That it is the Word of God, and I can be confident that God, that Christ, is able to raise those that are dead back to life. Friends, how is that important for you and I? You know, I wouldn't want to be raised to come back to life here upon this earth. But my concern is being raised to overcome that second death, that I may have the hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus in heaven. There are those that love Jesus, those that, because of Him, were impacted so greatly. These sisters recognized the power and the strength of Christ, and they sent for Him. I pray that all of us, that as we go through our life, that if we are sick, that we have the mindset to call for that healing Savior, to call for Christ. And the thing is, when it comes to sickness, if sickness is sin, we're all sick. And we all need Christ. And in Him, as we continue this lesson, there will be a power unimaginable to you and I from a human perspective, but from the power of an amazing God, all things are possible. We're going to sing the song that has been selected. What will your answer be? If you're not in Christ Jesus, I encourage you to give thought to your soul's salvation. Knowing that Christ Jesus is one that can raise from the dead, that He Himself was raised from the dead, and those that are in Christ will be raised also to have a home in eternity with Christ and all the saints that serve Him. Do you believe that Christ Jesus is that Son of God? If you're willing to confess that faith, repent of your sins, we'll go to water and baptize you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you'll rise to walk in the newness of life, of peace, of hope, and of promise. Friends, we have a loving Savior, a powerful Savior that overcame death. And in Him, you and I will also. If you've fallen back into the ways of the world, if you have sin in your life, if you've not been living the Christian life that you should, I encourage you, make yourself right. Repent of your sins. If you need our prayers, please come and we'll pray for you. But don't leave the building this morning outside of Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And if we're to go to the Father, it will be through Him. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.